I hear people talk about their trials in life and their difficulties and whatever, and surely we've all had those, and some have had more than others maybe, and some have had some severe trials, and maybe others have not maybe seen quite as difficult at times in certain days, though we all face those times. But a person that's saved will often talk about their trials, but they'll never talk about the burdens and the trials of life and express any of them to be any greater or any more problematic or any heavier upon their souls than when they come to the reality that they knew they were lost and on their way to hell. And it is amazing how that works that way. The world will look at it and say, well, it's just one of them things, you know, where people get religion when they feel like they need to and whatever, you know. But yet the child of God that's been saved, he talks about that heavy burden of sin that weighed upon him. Amen. And how if there's nothing else in the world could have helped him. And he looked here and looked there. And the world looks at him and says, there ain't nothing wrong with him. They don't need any help. But yet when you're under conviction, friend, and the Lord's showing you you're on your way to hell, I'm telling you there's no disease, there are no circumstances, there are no monetary problems that could ever compare to the trouble you've got when you got trouble in your soul and know you're lost and on your way to hell. I'm telling you that is the heaviest burden that a man can carry. But I'm glad for the day when the Lord rolled my heavy burden away. Amen. And now I still have burdens, Brother John, but His yoke is easy and His burden is light. Nothing is heavy like that old heavy burden of sin, but thank God He rolled it all away. I praise the Lord for that. I'll still have battles to fight, still have burdens to bear. I get tired of hopping around on one leg, and that'll just be a temporary thing, but my hip is worn and slammed out. I told Sonia this morning, by the time this leg heals up, I'm going to need a total hip replacement on account I'm wearing my hip out, you know, with just one leg and doing all that work on one side and then having to sleep on that same side at night, and I don't ever sleep on my left side, but I have to sleep on my left side, and then I got covers wrapped all in different directions, 1 foot under the covers, 1 foot out. Can't, get comfortable. The pillow between my knees. My hip hurts. I mean, I just feel like I'm falling apart. By the time I wake up in the morning, my foot feels good and everything else hurts. And by the end of the day, I don't know if everything else gets to feeling better, but my foot hurts bad enough that I don't pay attention to the rest of it. But the reality is that we all going to have some problems, but they ain't nothing like the day whenever I knew I was under such conviction and I felt like I could drop off into hell at any moment. And the Lord came by and saved my soul and took away the burden of my sin. And I want to thank and praise Him for that. I'm reading this morning, if the Lord will help us, in the book of Psalms in chapter 47. The book of Psalms in chapter 47 this morning. I want to read this entire psalm. I yesterday spent some time studying. I read from about Psalms chapter 4 through Psalm 50. And there was at least three psalms that I started making notes on, trying to put something together to preach about. And I felt like this was where the Lord wanted us to stay, was in the 47th psalm. I wanted to preach out of Psalm chapter 8, and the Lord wouldn't give me liberty on that. I got a pretty good outline started, just couldn't finish it up, couldn't get satisfied with it, and wanted to preach out of Psalm 24, that psalm of the crown, the shepherd. And the Lord wouldn't give me liberty on that, but this is a related psalm in Psalm 47, and we're actually going to use a couple of verses from Psalms 8 and from Psalms 24. And I want to use a little bit from this entire chapter from Psalms chapter 47. If you are able and willing this morning, I would invite you to stand this morning as we'll reverence the reading of the Word of the Lord. I would have to say stand with us, but I'm not altogether standing, so I won't say it quite that way. But we'll reverence the reading of the Word of the Lord this morning from Psalms chapter 47, and the Lord surely knows our hearts. If you're unable to stand, just read along with us and follow along with us in your Bibles. The Word of the Lord says, "Oh, clap your hands, all you people. Shout unto God with a voice of triumph. For the Lord Most High is terrible. He is a great King over all the earth. He shall subdue the people under us and the nations under our feet. He shall choose our inheritance for us, the excellency of Jacob whom he loved, Selah. God is gone up with a shout, the Lord with the sound of a trumpet. Sing praises to God, sing praises. Sing praises unto our King, sing praises. For God is the King of all the earth. Sing ye praises with understanding. God reigneth over the heathen. God sitteth upon the throne of His holiness. The princes of the people are gathered together, even the people of the God of Abraham. For the shields of the earth belong unto God. He is greatly exalted. You can be seated this morning. Thank you for standing with us while we read the Word of the Lord. Looking for that book that I forgot to get, the inspiration book that was up here. I'd like to have something out of it while I'm preaching. If you can locate it there, Brother John. I thought it was maybe there on top of the pulpit, and it may yet be. I just can't see from here to tell for sure. That's what I need. Thank you. I want to read this morning in this psalm and preach out of this psalm. If you'll keep your Bibles open, I'm preaching this morning out of this great psalm. The Bible teaches us that this is a psalm that is to the chief musician. The Scripture talks about how that it is the psalm that tells us about how that they would attribute this unto the end times and when Christ is ultimately coming again, and how He will ascend unto the throne, and how He will stand on that throne and be recognized and glorified at His second coming. Matter of fact, we can kind of see that theme in verse number 5 when it says, God is gone up with a shout of the Lord, with the sound of a trumpet. Sing praises to God. Sing praises. Sing praises unto our King. Sing praises. We see the atmosphere of heaven and the resurrected Christ, the atmosphere of heaven and the glorified Lord. And I do believe that's right. And it says the Mighty One is seated peacefully upon His throne, and He is high and lifted up. This may be the proper application. I believe it is the last time I heard some theologians have argued about this passage of Scripture and said that it pertains to the time in which the Lord Jesus had finished His work on earth and first ascended to heaven. I really believe it has to do with the second coming and when He ascends again to be crowned King for the final time. I believe that because of verse 5, with the sound of a trumpet and with a shout, those tell me about the last times, how the Lord will descend from heaven with a shout, and with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. I believe those are things pointing to the last time and the end time. Nonetheless, though that might be the proper application for the passage, we don't have to wait until the second coming of Christ for the assurance that Jesus is on the throne. For verse number 8 says, verse 7, let's look at that first. For God is the King. It didn't say He will be the King. It said, for God is the King of all the earth. Sing ye praises with understanding. God reigneth over the heathen. God sitteth upon the throne of His holiness. I want to preach, if the Lord will hit me, out of verse number 8 where the Bible says, God sitteth upon the throne. I'm preaching this morning on God is on the throne. God is on the throne. And I praise His name that He is. He reigns high upon the throne. Brother Ryan preached a few Sunday nights ago out of Isaiah 6. And when Isaiah saw the Lord, He was sitting high upon the throne. He was sitting upon the throne high and lifted up. When it was that Stephen saw Jesus, he saw Him standing at the right hand of the throne of God. When he told us about the Lord Jesus in Hebrews 12, he was seated at the right hand of the throne of God. When John saw God and the vision of the throne in chapter number 4 of Revelation, he sat upon His throne. In the Psalm chapter 47 and verse 8 this morning in our text, God is seated upon the throne of His holiness. I believe that is what Isaiah saw. Them angels that were around at that throne saying, holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, which was, which is, and is to come. Then I praise the Lord that He is that God that sits upon the throne. God is on the throne. I want to give you 4 simple things this morning about this passage of Scripture, and we'll preach to you about God is on the throne. I want to say, first of all, this morning, since we know God is on the throne, that lets us know that He reigns. Amen. He reigns. He is King. He is Lord of lords and King King of Kings. He is the Sovereign of the universe. He reigns in all things. Verse number 2 of our text calls Him the Most High. Amen. It says He is a great King over all the earth. Verse number 6 calls Him our King. Sing praises to God. Sing praises unto our King. Verse number 7 says, For God is the King of all the earth. Verse number 8 says, God reigneth over all the heathen. By the way, many are those who have thought that rule the world. That little short man, Napoleon, thought he would rule the world. But he met his match at Waterloo. The fact of the matter is, had he won the Battle of Waterloo, had he hung his flag on every continent and every island and every little hill, my friend, across planet Earth, he still would not have been the ruler, for God is the King that reigns upon all the heathen. He reigns over all the earth. He is on the throne. Psalm 24, I told you, I was reading there yesterday as well, says in verse number 9, lift up your heads, oh, you gates, even lift them up, you everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord of hosts. He is the King of glory. There are those who have an inflated sense of their own importance. They think that they are somebody big in this world. They think because they own much, or they have much, or because they run much, or are in charge of much, that they are someone important, somebody that matters, someone of authority, or who can take charge. But I praise the Lord that we serve the God who is above all. He's a God that is above all potentates. He's a God that is above all powers. He's a God that is above all principalities. Praise His dear name, He reigns. God is on the throne. I often make the mistake, I do enjoy the program, I do enjoy the coverage that they give, but I often make the mistake of watching Fox News Sunday, or at least the first half hour or so, before I come to church on Sunday morning, instead of waiting for the rerun at 2 o'clock on Sunday afternoon. It's a pretty good news program, give you pretty good information or whatever, but normally they make me mad. It upsets me, because about every Sunday they tell me about the latest of whatever it is that Obama is doing or has not done that he ought to do. And he misses the mark just by waking up in the morning. Amen. And it frustrates me just about everything that he says or does. And my friend, he thinks he's a king. He thinks he's a dictator. He thinks he's the boss. And my friend, he may run roughshod over the Congress. And he may make a mockery out of the Supreme Court. And he may make a mockery out of the American people and our Constitution. And he may think he's the most important ruler in the world. But I'm telling you, there is one who sits upon a throne who has not quivered one moment in fear. That Yahoo who thinks he's running our country. Praise the Lord, there is a King this morning, and God is on His throne. Amen. That old song from the Inspirations, Ronnie Henson wrote back in the mid-80s, that Troy Burns sang so much better than I can, especially while I'm preaching this morning. But I praise the Lord for this song, and I thank God for the message of the song. I'm going to try to slow down now where I can sing a cappella, just sing through this song, and then finish the message this morning. I don't like singing in the middle of my preaching. It's hard to do. But I want to get this message across to you. The song said, He stepped out of nowhere, the world in His hands, and He hung it on nothing but His command. He spoke into being all these things that we see, yet in His own image He made you and me. His hands aren't wrinkled, there's no loss of strength, and His mind's never left Him unable to think. His nerves aren't shattered, His hair isn't gray, and He still works His wonders in mysterious ways. And God is still on His throne. He will take care of His own. He sends thousands and thousands, 10,000s of angels. We're never alone, for God is still on His throne. And in the book of Psalms 46 verse 10, Jehovah Creator is speaking again. Be still when you're troubled, when the storm rages wild, for I am still God, and you're still my child. And God is still on the throne. He will take care of His own. He sends thousands and thousands, 10,000s of angels. We're never alone, for God is still on His throne. On our text this morning says, for God reigneth over the heathen. God sitteth upon the throne of His holiness. I'm glad this morning God sits on the throne. He is the one who reigns. He reigns. He sits high, but He looks low. And in God's my feet wherever I go. I'm glad I have a Father who reigns on His throne. I want to say God is on His throne. We know He reigns. I want to say secondly this morning, God sits on His throne, so we know that we can rejoice. Amen. Oh, thank God this psalm begins in verse number 1. Oh, clap your hands, all you people. Shout with the God with a voice of triumph. Verse number 6 says, sing praises to God. Sing praises. Sing praises to our King. Sing praises. I tell you, we can. And rejoice, for God is on the throne. Were you or I to be running at this show, there'd be no rejoicing. Were we to be in charge, there'd be no cause to praise. Were the Pope to be running it, were the government to be running it, we'd all be in some serious trouble. But since God is on the throne, we can rejoice and praise Him. I tell you, this psalm reminds us we can rejoice cheerfully. The psalm begins with that word, oh, clap your hands. That word, oh, is an expression of emotion. We can rejoice with cheer from the heart. We're not here this morning to sing songs and hymns with my friend hanging our head low. We're not here, my friend, to sing sad songs. That's for Waylon Jennings and my friend Willie Nelson and all the rest of that. Oh, sad beer drinking, lost man crowd to sing. I tell you, we sing songs of joy. What a wonderful change in my life has been wrought since Jesus came into my heart. Jesus, 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 sweetest name I know. That fills my every longing, keeps me singing as I go. We sing songs like Jesus keeps me happy. We're singing songs like Victory in Jesus. We sing songs like Amazing Grace. We sing songs like What a Change in My Life. I remember the day when the Lord saved me. Hey, bless His name. I can't have a running fit this morning, but if the Lord puts it on you, and if you'd intercede, you'd run for me. I'll holler sick of amen. I'm glad I'm saved by the grace of God. I tell you, we can praise God. We can rejoice cheerfully. I'm glad I've got a song. I've not hung my harp on the willow tree. And my friend, I ain't got to sing a sad song. But I tell you, since God is on the throne, how we can rejoice cheerfully. Woo! Oh, bless His name. Hallelujah. God
God sits on the throne, so we can rejoice cheerfully. Yeah. Not only do we rejoice cheerfully, but Brother Andy, we can rejoice universally. Somebody said, I ain't got nothing to do with all this. That's not what the Bible says. The Bible said, oh, clap your hands, all you people. He didn't leave anybody out. Amen. All you people, Jew and Gentile, black and white, east, west, north, south, we can praise God universally. As Psalm 150 and 6 says, let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. Praise ye the Lord. Hallelujah to His name. We can rejoice universally.
Amen.
Amen. We can rejoice cheerfully. We can rejoice universally. I tell you, because He sits on the throne of the God, we can rejoice vocally. Amen. The world says, oh, now don't be so loud. Don't make so much racket. Why? Service, one fellow told me one time, said service got carried away so bad down yonder. I said, I had to go home and take a Valium to go to sleep at night. Just ruin my nerves. Oh, I got news for you. This is the quietest world you're ever going to live in. Amen. In hell, they'll be weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth. And in heaven, we'll shout glory to the Lamb for eternity. I tell you, we have the right to praise Him and to rejoice vocally. Oh, clap your hands, all you people. Shout unto God with the voice of triumph. One fellow said, I had to just shout silently. Why, that's crazy. That's like a down up. Amen. Or a right left. There ain't no such thing as a silent shout. That's either silent or it's a shout. It can't be both. I praise God vocally. One old man told me, said, the Lord ain't hard of hearing. Brother Eddie taught me years ago, he ain't nervous either. Amen. Just rejoice in the Lord. Just praise God. Just glorify Him vocally with the voice of triumph. Verse 6 said, sing praises to God. Sing praises to our King. Sing praises. Sound like a cloud done got worked up to me. And verse 7 said, for God is the King of all the earth. Sing praises with understanding. I tell you, we can sing and rejoice vocally.
Amen.
I've said this a lot of times, you know. I've said I preach loud as I do on account I can't preach no louder than this. And one day there's a little old boy come from our community. His family's done moved out from here. I don't even know what's happened to him now. And they're rough, lived rough. Oh my. I mean, half the time didn't have food to eat and didn't ever hardly have power in the house. And it'd get cold and they'd sometimes just sit around wrapped up in blankets when the freezing weather hit in that little old tin can of a trailer they lived in. It wasn't fit for my friend to put animals in a stall in there. I mean, it was just awful. The walls are crumbling in. Had the wire hung out to hang the door shut and things. I mean, just awful conditions. And that little boy growing up in that mess, and daddy'd spend what little money that he'd get from here to there had to buy liquor and all this stuff and leave his kids running around barefooted in the wintertime and just neglect them. And he didn't know anything about God, church, or the Bible. It was just pitiful, just heartbreaking. One Sunday morning, he rode home with me, and I took him back to the house, and he asked me, he said, mister, said, why do you preach like you do? I said, well, son, it's because there's a fire shut up in my bones, and I cannot forbear. He looked at me like a cat staring at a new gate. Had no idea what I was talking about. I said, there's something down inside me that makes me love God, and makes me love others, and makes me want everybody to get saved. And I said, I must shout it from the rooftop to tell people how it is. That there is a heaven that we can go to. And they don't have to die lost and go to hell without God. That Jesus loves them wherever they are and whoever they are. One Sunday he sat back there out in the middle of the waves, and I got to preaching and shouting and such. And he looked at some of the ladies back there and said, why does that preacher preach so loud? That Sister Angel looked back over at him and she said, because he can't preach no louder than that. And he said, oh, like it made sense then. Oh, but I'm telling you, friend, we are to cry loud and speak preacher or not. We ought to cry loud in our preacher. We ought to shout with a voice of triumph in our worship. We ought to sing from our hearts and our singing. We ought to pour our heart out to Him in our prayer. We don't need to be silent in this generation where the gospel is hid to them that are lost. But may we lift up our voices like a trumpet in this land and let it be known that God is on the throne.
Amen.
The world does not like vocal praise because it glorifies God and it makes them uncertain in their unbelief. Amen. Whenever you are so sure of what you're praising God about and the conviction shows up in your life, it makes them uncomfortable because they're not sure, because they don't have that same comfort, have confidence and assurance. And it bothers them. I used to say that the way I preach wasn't bothering people. It was what I was preaching that bothers them. I have since learned it's both. It's what I preach and it's the way that I preach. When you prophesy with a smooth voice and you say smooth things, it does not trouble people. But when you have conviction, when you cry loud and spare not, when you know what you're preaching is true, it rattles the cage of the unbeliever. And I'm going to tell you something, it don't bother me that it bothers you today. Amen. It would bother me if it didn't bother you. It would trouble me if it didn't trouble you. I mean, if you're lost, I love you. I'm glad you're here. I want you to be here. You are welcome in the house of God. We are proud and thankful that you are here in the house of the Lord. But if you leave out of here unbothered, untroubled, settled and satisfied in your lost condition, at ease while you go right off into hell, then that would trouble me. I want you to leave out of here troubled. I want you, if you leave lost, I want you to leave bothered. I'd rather you get saved and leave out of here rejoicing and thanking God. But if you leave lost, I want you to be troubled in your sin. We can rejoice. He sits on the throne. We can rejoice cheerfully, universally, vocally. I'm going to tell you, we can rejoice confidently. Amen. Our shout's not just a hollow shout. We're not like the fellow out in the woods with a grapevine whooping on a hollow log. Amen. We are doing something that matters. Our praise and our worship is not empty. It is not hollow. We have confidence. Verse number 7 said, sing, for God is the King of all the earth, saying ye praises with understanding. I tell you, we don't rejoice for nothing. We know in whom we have believed. We have cause to rejoice. Philippians 4 and 4 tells us what we rejoice in. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again I say rejoice. Our rejoicing's not in the church. It's not in the preacher. It's not in one another. It's not in our affluence or our finances. Our rejoicing is in the Lord.
Hallelujah.
We are of those who rejoice in the Lord, and we are of those who have no confidence in the flesh. Philippians 3 and 3 said we don't have confidence in the flesh. But Philippians, or 2 Thessalonians 3 and 4 says we have confidence in the Lord. Amen. Our confidence is in Him. Well, we can rejoice. He sits on the throne. He reigns. We can rejoice. I want to say thirdly this morning, we can rest. We can rest. Verses 3 and 4 says, He shall subdue the people under us and the nations under our feet. He shall choose our inheritance for us, the excellency of Jacob whom He loved. Verse number 8 says, For God reigneth over the heathen, and God sitteth upon the throne of His holiness. We don't have to be uncertain or unsettled with worry. We can rest in that God has sinned on the throne. Amen. No need in being bothered or concerned about what the evildoers will do. Our God is in control. We can rest in the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
That's what God's dominion over creation is all about. It's about giving us rest. You don't see that in the picture of creation. 6 days there was great, my friend, labor. 6 days there was great upheaval. 6 days He formed the stars in the heavens and scooped out places for oceans and roped them off with sand and filled them up with water and put every little fish in the sea and every creeping thing that creeps upon the earth. Have made all the beasts of the field, and on the sixth day made man and breathed in his nostrils a breath of life. And to my friend, he became a living soul. But on the seventh day, God rested from all his labors and said, "It is good." I tell you, we can rest in that. The Lord is the author of creation and the owner of all things. Praise his dear name. We can have confidence in him. And God is in control. One chapter back in Psalm 46, we have some confidence. Amen. The Bible said in verse 1, "God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore will not we fear, though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried in the midst of the sea, though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, and though the mountains shake with swelling thereof, Selah. There is a river, the streams whereof shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacles. Of the Most High God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God shall help her." And at that right, ready. And when that psalm gets done, he finishes that. And at verse number 10 and 11, "Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth. And the Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge, Selah." Oh, clap your hands, all you people. That's how this psalm gets going in Psalm 47. Most scholars believe it's one continuous discourse. Oh, I'm telling you, praise God, how we can rest and the fact that the Lord is the God of heaven and He sits on the throne. We can rest. Oh my. Brother Eddie won't never preach another one any better than that precious night when the Holy Ghost come on him. And I mean, took him off to another plane somewhere and preached out of Hebrews on "There remaineth therefore a rest for the people of God." Amen. There was rest in the Sabbath. There was rest in the land of Canaan. There's rest in the Lord Jesus Christ. But there remaineth a rest for the people of God. Oh, why is it possible? Because God sits on the throne. Amen. Oh, and I'm closing out with this. God is on the throne. He reigns. God is on the throne. We rejoice. God is on the throne. We rest. Finally this morning, God is on the throne. And He will return. Amen. He's coming back just like He said. Verse 5 of our text this morning says, "God has gone up with a shout. The Lord with the sound of a trumpet." There will be a shout and there will be a trumpet. He promised us in Acts 1, verses 9 through 11, when He's caught up on a cloud, two men in white apparel stood by saying, "You men of Galilee, why stand you here gazing up into heaven? For this same Jesus you have seen go away from you into heaven, He's coming in like manner as you have seen Him go into heaven." Amen. I tell you, He's coming back just like He said. Oh, praise God. He said in John 14, "And let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I'd go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself." Hallelujah! "That where I am, there ye may be also. And whither I go, you know. And the way, you know." Thomas saith unto him, "Lord, we know not whither thou goest. And how can we know the way?" And Jesus saith unto him, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." I praise the Lord. He went away. But He's coming back, friend. He's on the throne now. But He's coming to get us, that we might be where He is one day. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise His name. Well, hallelujah. Revelation chapter 1 and verse 7 said, "Behold, He cometh with clouds." Amen. Hallelujah. And every eye shall see Him, and also they that pierced Him, and all the kindreds of the earth shall wail because of Him. Even so, amen. I tell you, He sits on the throne, and He's going to return one of these days. He's God. And besides Him, there is not another. I'm finished preaching. You come with a song this morning. What Brother John taught in Sunday school is so pertinent. And the Lord has woven this thing together from the time that Brother Thomas began in the Sunday school opening. And the words that he reminded us of. It's a privilege for us to come into the house of God, rejoice, to rest, to praise Him that reigns. But I'm telling you, what Brother John reminded us of right behind him is so true. He's coming back. And when He comes, He'll be a God of judgment. He'll have that golden girdle about His paps, the Bible said in the book of Revelation. That's the apron that was worn by the high priest when he went forth to judge. You realize when Jesus comes back, He's not going to be some baby in a manger or some bleeding, dying, pleading Savior on a cross. But He's going to be a God that judges for sin. He judges righteousness. He'll judge according to those that have refused Him. And you're not going to get by, friend. You're not going to be excused. You're going to have to answer to the Lord in judgment one of these days. You may live and drift along and never give God a second thought. And that, my friend, but know for sure He's on the throne. He will be the judge. In the end, you'll stand before Him and give an account for the deeds done in this body. And now is the time to get prepared. For the day surely is coming. God is on the throne. Everybody stand here this morning. If you're able and willing, stand with us. If you need to pray today, I'd beg you to come. God sits on the throne. I'd beg you, if you're this morning, if you don't know the Lord, if you've never been saved, you're sitting in this church this morning, you've heard the gospel sermon, you've heard the call of God, you've witnessed the songs of Zion, you have seen others pray and heard this great testimony of others, but here you are lost. I wouldn't waste any time this morning. I'd find a way in this altar and pray. There's people already in this altar now that's saved, that's praying for you, that you'd be saved. If you feel like you're under conviction that God's drawing you, I'd get my way fast as I could to this altar and beg God to save me and save me today. I wouldn't ask Him to save me someday. I'd ask Him to save me today. I'd ask Him to come in my life right now. This morning, if you're here and you know you're not right with God, you know you're not ready for the Lord to come, you say the Lord's not even troubling the waters of my heart. I don't even know if I'm under conviction. I'd find my way to this altar and I'd stay here and let God know that I'm interested, that I care about my soul, that I want to get born again. I tell you, He'll reward you this morning, friend. If you need to pray, if you need to see God's face, He's on the throne this morning and He hears and He listens to your prayers. He sits high and He looks low and He guides my feet wherever I go. I have a Father. I have a Father who cares this morning. Sing for us whenever you can sing for us. Come and do business with God if you need to pray. My, how sad it'll be to hear the gospel and turn the Lord away today. Would you come and seek the face of the Lord? My. What a shame it'd be to ignore this opportunity. Are you ready? pitiful to go to hell off a bar stool. I believe it'd be more sad to go to hell off a church pew. It'd be horrible to go to hell having never heard the gospel of Christ. I believe it'd be terrible to go to hell with the gospel of Christ ringing forever in your ears and knowing you rejected it and would not receive it. It'd be awful to go to hell having never heard a Holy Ghost filled sermon from the gospel of the Lord. It'd be worse to go to hell and forever see in your mind's eye the face of the man of God and hear the voice of the preaching and know that time and again you turned the Lord of heaven away. It'd be bad going to hell and saying that my mom and daddy never cared. My parents never prayed for me. My family never loved me, never tried to get me to do right. But oh, how awful it'd have to be to go to hell knowing that somebody loved and somebody cared and somebody prayed for you and somebody sought God on your behalf. Somebody asked the Lord to save your soul. Somebody begged the Lord to work in your life. And you went headstrong and went your own way and they got stiff-necked and went off into hell in rebellion and forever stayed there without help and without hope. How sad it'd be this morning if you've been in the house of God. If you walk out of here lost and go off into hell, you'll go over the prayers of the saints, you'll go over the love of the Savior, you'll go over the sermon of the man of God, you'll go over the grace of God that has been extended unto you. There is no cause. Listen to me, boys and girls, preachers' kids, church kids, go to the same hell that the drunkards and the dope dealers and the murderers go to. Preachers' kids and people on the pew go to the same hell, my friend, that the Hitlers and Mussolinis of this whole world, that the violent and Muslim extremists go to. If they die lost, oh, may the Lord help us. Get saved while you have an opportunity. She's going to sing another verse for us. If you need to come, do business with God. I've tried to preach to you the truth this morning. Would you come? How pitiful it be to die lost. Oh my. Oh Lord. Boys and girls sitting on the church pews of this church, week after week, dying lost and headed on their way to hell. Moms and dads, church members, got enough religion to soothe your conscience, but you're lost. You're lost without God. You're not ready. If I could convince you, I would. If I could require it of you, I'd just do it. And you'd be glad that I did if I could. But the Lord has left it up to you. Jesus made a way. Now it's up to you. Will you take that way? Most people's going to go the broad route and they're going to end up in hell. You don't have to. But it's between you and God. If you do nothing, you're going to coast right along out of life, right off into hell. If you get right with God, you're going to have to take the initiative to ask the Lord by faith to come into your life. Turn from yourself and to the Savior. Are you satisfied that you've been obedient to the Lord in the meeting this morning?
Preacher, I shared it in the adult class, but not everybody was in here. The Lord impressed it on my heart this week after doing this lesson. That phrase that Jesus told those sheep, or those goats, I'm sorry.
That's right.
When he told them to depart, I know you're not.
Yes, sir.
I said in the adult class that it would be sad, and it is sad, and it's chilling to hear someone tell you, I don't love you anymore. Breaking it up, breaking it off with you. Or it's sad if you were to go into your employer tomorrow and they say, we don't need you anymore, you're fired. It'd be real sad if you went to the doctor tomorrow and they said, you got cancer, there's nothing we can do for you, get your house in order. But that pales in comparison as you stand before the Lord of heaven, unprepared to meet Him, and hear those chilling words, depart. If you're lost this morning, as sure as I'm standing here, you're going to hear those words.
Yes, sir.
And when you hear those words, depart, I know you not, then it's too late. The judgment's been cast, and you'll hear, I believe, you'll hear messages in hell. I believe you'll hear songs in hell. But I think what will ring in people's ears all of the eternity is the fact that Jesus told them, depart. And they will have to live with that for all of eternity.
Amen.
Chilling,
amen.
Chilling thought.
Yes, sir, brother.
I wasn't sure I was right with God. I'd get you.
Amen.
The Lord was dealing with my heart to get saved. I wouldn't care what anybody else thought. I wouldn't be worried about, I don't want to go pray in front of a bunch of people.
Worry about these people. God's on the throne.
Nothing in this world is going to be worth hearing Him say.
Amen.
See, that's been strong in my heart all week this morning. Lord knows my heart, I've struggled studying this lesson.
Bless you, Brother Joe.
I'm convinced we got people in our midst that come in every Sunday night.
Amen.
And Wednesday night. And if the Lord came back today, they go to hell.
Amen.
And it don't have to be that way.
Amen.
The preacher said, if I could make you get saved, I'd do it. But I can't.
Amen.
My boys, I can't save them. Your children, I can't save them. All I know to do is pray for them.
Amen.
And pray that the Lord deal with their heart.
Yes, sir, brother.
And they have enough sense, enough gumption, and enough faith to pray and trust Him.
That's right.
Because He's the only hope we have.
So true.
God has.
Wouldn't worry about all these people. God's on the throne.
Amen.
That's the one you're going to have to worry about. Back, I guess it was maybe 1984. I wasn't even saved 5 years before I got saved. I remember hearing a man preaching a summer revival. The Lord dealt hard with my heart that night on the saddest words I ever heard. And he preached on that parable where the Lord talked about how that there'd be many come, or the time when the Lord said there'd be many come to Him in that day and said, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in Your name, done these many wonderful works? He'll say, depart from me, you work of iniquity, for I never knew you. He said the four saddest words that ever been spoken was, I never knew you. We'll never forget that. We'll never forget that. How pitiful it'd be to die lost. And you knowing better than dying lost. Brother Bob, if you would ask the Lord to help us as we depart. He'd deal with the hearts of these here that's lost and help us to remember to be faithful to pray for them.